So welcome everyone back to our Experience Shabbat Shiur. This week we're going to be speaking about part four in our mini series of a general topic of Shamor and Zachor, of understanding the ins and outs of what these words are that we use to talk about Shabbos, what they actually mean. So this week the topic is, do you really enjoy Shabbat? And by that topic we're specifically going to be speaking about the two buzzwords of Kavod and Oneg, right? So again, just a quick review, this is part four. So part one spoke about Shamor and Zachor. We have to remember, we have to guard Shabbos. Week two was just speaking about Zachor. Then week three was speaking about Shamor. And this week we're speaking about Kavod and Oneg combined. If you're a little bit confused, if you've never heard the words of Kavod and Oneg apply to Shabbos, or never actually thought that there was any significance to them, so let's review what the Rambam says, what Maimonides says on this matter. He says in the 30th Perek, in his entire compendium on the laws of Shabbos, he writes, Arba dvarim ne'emru b'Shabbos. There are four things that were said about Shabbos. Shnayim min ha-Torah. Two of them were written, or two of them are come from the Torah. Ushnayim midivrei sofrim, and two of them come from the rabbis. A little bit unclear what exactly means midivrei sofrim, because it doesn't say midivrei kabbalah or something like that. He uses the word midivrei sofrim. It's a little, the Rambam, who is always very clear and always very consistent and meaningful when he chooses his words, it's noteworthy to mention the fact that he does use the words midivrei sofrim, which may or may not connote that the following are going to be derabbanan. But anyways, ushnayim midivrei sofrim vehin meforashin al yedei hanavim. The next are midivrei sofrim, and they are explained by the Nevi'im. So again, is it d'oraisa d'rabbanan? A little bit unclear. We'll have to see in a moment. Shabbat Torah, that in the Torah itself it writes zachor v'shamor v'shenis partial al yedei hanavim, and then it's explained through the Nevi'im, kavod v'oneg, that we also have to keep kavod and oneg, that we have to remember, that we have to honor, and that we have to enjoy Shabbos. Where does this come from? Shenemar, because it says in the prophet Isaiah of Yeshaya, v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, that we will call Shabbos oneg, we will call Shabbos delight, that Shabbos will be enjoyable. V'lekdosh Hashem mechubad. It's going to be a day to sanctify Hashem in his honor. So the Rambam, essentially what he does is over here, he does something very important. This is in the final perek in the laws of Shabbat, the final chapter. And what he says is that there are four words that synopsize all of Shabbos: Shamor and Zachor, which we spent a great deal of time talking about. And now we have Kavod and Oneg. Kavod and Oneg at face value seemingly is a rabbinic commandment, or at least it's a commandment that comes from the Nevi'im. What the status of that is in reference to the Torah, we'll speak about in just a moment. But it certainly seems to not be on the same level as Shamor and Zachor, which come from the direct mouth of God. Now, the other aspect of it that we'll want to understand is, at face value, if you wonder what Shamor, what Kavod and Oneg are there to represent, you would assume that they are there to be in parallel with Shamor and Zachor. Right? It can't just be that there were these two buzzwords that the Torah used to refer to Shabbos, Shamor and Zachor, and now all of a sudden the Nevi'im, the prophets, are going to say we should also use Kavod and Oneg. It must be, at least again, at face value, that Kavod and Oneg are in somehow parallel to Shamor and Zachor, just by the fact that there are two from the Torah and two in the Nevi'im, you'd assume that there'd be some connection between them. So again, the first question that we have to wonder is Kavod and Oneg derabbanan, or is it d'oraisa? Is it a rabbinic commandment, or is it a Torah commandment? So the Rav, in his Shiurim L'Zechra Avimori, he writes as follows, Shnei ha-devarim midivrei sofrim, that both of these things are midivrei sofrim. Again, midivrei sofrim would basically be translated as a rabbinic commandment. Shehim mufurashim al yedei hanavim, but they're explained through the Nevi'im. Mahavim amnam shtei mitzvos mesuyamos, ubebechina zu chidshu al yedei hanavim, ulam benogei lekiyumam mehavas hinei hemsheich mitzvos zachor v'shamor, shenemru b'torah. What he says is, the Rav, is that when we're told that Oneg and Kavod are midivrei sofrim, that they come from the prophets, it means that what the prophets were doing is that they were taking Shamor and Zachor, the commandments to remember and guard Shabbos, and they were telling us essentially that there is a continuation of remembering and guarding Shabbos, and that is being oneg, enjoying Shabbos and also honoring Shabbos. If you enjoy and honor Shabbos, that's going to be a continuation of Shamor and Zachor. Hakasa v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, the Rav continues that the pasuk says that we should enjoy Shabbos, L'kdosh Hashem mechubad, and that we should honor Shabbos. Mefarish es tochin mitzvah zachor v'shamor. He says that what the pasuk in Yeshaya is doing is that it's explaining what it means to guard and remember Shabbos. Kishe adam makpid al oneg v'kibud, because when a person is careful to enjoy and to honor Shabbos, who mashlimes mitzvos zachor v'shamar, they complete the commandment of remembering and guarding. So according to the Rav, how we read the Rambam and understand the Rambam, and I think this is the primary way of understanding him, is that Kavod and Onig are not actually rabbinic commandments. True, they're from the Nevi'im, so maybe they're not the same caliber of the Torah, but nonetheless, they are what we would call deoraisa. They are Torah commandments, and that they are written in the text of our writings, in the Tanakh. So the Rambam is going to be of the perspective that they are from a deoraisa, that we have to honor and enjoy Shabbos from a Torah perspective. The Mishnah Brura, however, seems to say that the Rambam is alone in this, or that he's not the only opinion in this, rather. He writes as follows, it was explained primarily through the Nevi'im, and he writes, he says there are some poskim that say that kavod and oneg, that to honor and enjoy Shabbos, is from the Torah that we're given that commandment. He doesn't even name them by name, and the way he phrases it is that most people, he says that some people say that it's from the Torah, which would seemingly mean that most people say that kavod and oneg are rabbinic. We have to honor and enjoy Shabbos, these are rabbinic commandments, and it happens to be also that there are some who do say it's the Torah, but by far and large it would seem that it is a rabbinic commandment, at least according to many. So, how does one actually define kavod and oneg? How does one actually begin to honor and enjoy Shabbos? Again, remember, when it comes to shamar and zachor, it was a very clear-cut way of how we're supposed to do it. How are we zachor Shabbos? How do we remember Shabbos? We make kiddush, and maybe according to some, according to the Rambam, we make kavdala. How do we guard Shabbos? How are we shamar Shabbos? Very simple. We keep the malachos. If we keep the malachos, if we don't do any work on Shabbos, then we have kept Shabbos. We have been shamar Shabbos. How does one enjoy Shabbos? How does one honor Shabbos, two terms that by their own definition seem to be more subjective than objective. So let's see what the Rambam himself has to say. He says, "Ezehu kavod, what is honor? Zeh she'amru chachamim, well, the sages tell us, shemitzvah al adam lerchotz panav yadav v'raglav b'chamin be'erev Shabbos. One is obligated to take a shower on Erev Shabbos, b'vnei kavod ha'Shabbos, because of the honor of Shabbos. U'mis'atif b'tzitzis, v'yoshi b'chobed rosh mi'achel l'hakbalas p'nei ha'Shabbos. And one should put tzitzis on, and a person should make sure to be able to sit and to properly welcome the Shabbos queen, just as someone goes out to greet a king, so too someone should go out to greet the Shabbos. The Chachamim HaRishonim Hayu Mekabtzin Tamidzein B'Erev Shabbos, and the great rabbis used to go out and gather their students on Erev Shabbos, U'misatfim V'omrim Bo'u V'Netzi Likra Shabbos HaMelech, and they would go out and say, come welcome the Shabbos king. It's noteworthy over here to mention that the Rambam doesn't call the Shabbos Malk, right? Normally, those of us who are familiar with saying that Shabbos is the Shabbos queen. The Rambam does not say that it's the Shabbos queen. I don't think it's sexism, but he says that it is the Shabbos king. Again, why that is, not for right now, but it is noteworthy to point that out. So what is kavod according to the Rambam? He goes on and he lists even more things. We'll just give them outside. Some things to define as kavod are making sure you have clean clothes on Shabbos, making sure that you have special clothes for Shabbos, making sure that you do laundry for Shabbos, making sure that you don't eat too much before Shabbos, right? So there's a halacha that one should not have a regular set meal in the afternoon before Shabbos so as not to go into Shabbos fully satiated, so that you won't be hungry when it comes to the Shabbos meal. There's a halacha that one should have a set table, that your beds should be made, that the candles should be lit. We'll see what that means in just a second when we say the candles should be lit. And there are some that say that, another perspective of kavod according to Rambam is that one should do Shabbos chores even if you are not in need of them. Meaning, if you are a very wealthy person, you can hire someone to clean your house and make your table and do all that stuff and do all of your shopping, you should specifically make sure to do some of these things by yourself, because it is an honor for the person to be able to honor Shabbos in that way, to prepare for it. What is kavod Shabbos in a nutshell? Making preparations for Shabbos. What is oneg? So the Rambam writes, ezehu oneg. What does it mean to enjoy Shabbos? Zehu she'amru chachamim she'tzarich letakein tav shil shamein biyoteh. You should make a delicious dish, make a delicious food, umashken, delicious drink, mevusam l'Shabbos, hakol lefi mamonu shel adam. One should make sure that the meals that they have for Shabbos are delicious. V'kol amar behabot sas Shabbos uvitikun ma'achalim rabim v'tomim harezem meshubach. You have more people over, you make some more food, it'll be amazing. You should have a delicious Shabbos feast. V'im ein yado maseges afilu lo asa ela shelek v'chayotzei boom yishum kavod Shabbos harezem oneg Shabbos. And let's say you can't afford anything. Literally, all you could afford is some disgusting, or I shouldn't say disgusting, but some vegetables, whatever. having too appetizing. So in that situation, that will be someone's onek Shabbos. That will be entitled someone's enjoyment of Shabbos if they really can't afford anything else. One is not obligated to enjoy Shabbos to such an extent that they have to go out and ask for charity to make sure that they have a brisket for Shabbos. That's not what it's funny that he used the term brisket, which is not the most expensive meat in the world, but one should not be going knocking door to door to get money for Shabbos. One should just make sure they have something to enjoy Shabbos over. And the takeaway essentially is what is oneg Shabbos? It means the three meal obligation that we have an obligation to have a meal on Friday night, on Shabbos day, and Shal Shudas, Sudash Shlishit. That is an obligation of oneg, to make good food for Shabbos, just to have tasty food. That's an obligation of oneg, and the obligation of meat and wine, drinking wine and eating meat, that seems to also be somehow an obligation of oneg. Again, if a person does not eat meat, or a person does not like wine, then it seems to not be that would be part of the obligation of oneg, because the elephant in the room, as we'll see in a moment, is that as beautiful as all these things seem, as amazing as they all seem to be, they all seem to be very subjective. And that, by that I mean that if someone is really into having like bagels and cream cheese, like they love bagels and cream cheese, then the question will become, is there an obligation specifically for a person to have a beautiful cooked meal, or is it okay for them to have a nice bagel, lox and cream cheese, whatever it is that they love so much? Is that a fulfillment, or is it objective, or is it subjective? So that we'll have to see in just a moment. Now, what about candlelighting? Candlelighting is a big deal, because many of us view candlelighting as like the be-all and end-all, or how could you go into Shabbos and not have lit candles, and it's good. That should be our perspective, because we have an obligation to light candles. However, many people seem to sometimes mix up some of the levels of importance of obligations. Candlelighting is only going to be in the category of kavod and oneg, and when I say only, I don't mean to limit it, but what I mean is that there are other things in terms of the Shabbos ladder of things of importance that would probably come beforehand. Now, in saying that, I don't claim to have all the wisdom here and know all the mystical aspects of it. For example, Chabad, the Chabad movement, has made it clear that they are very into two things, right? One is putting tefillin on men, and the other is making sure women light Shabbos candles. So I'm not going to go into that right now, because I don't honestly have a full understanding of exactly where that comes from. You have to speak to a Chabadnik to answer those questions. But clearly, Chabad thinks lighting Shabbos candles is more important than many other things, because that's what they chose to prioritize. But nonetheless, if you look at the basic black and white categorical halachos, well, lighting candles only fits into the category of Kavod and Oneg, as opposed to the category of Shamor and Zachor. But anyway, so the question that we started off with is, what category is candlelighting in? Is it a kavod thing, or is it an oneg thing? The Rambam says it's both. The Rambam makes the same, and we'll say it outside. On the one hand, he seems to say that lighting Shabbos candles is going to be an oneg Shabbos obligation. On the other hand, he also seems to say that it is a kavod Shabbos obligation. So which one is it actually? I believe the answer can be found by looking in the words of the Gra. The Gra, the holy Vilna Gaon, who lived in the 1700s, says the following. He says, you want to know how to properly define Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos? We alluded to it just a few moments ago, but we'll read his language, which says it explicitly, which I think just says it all, is that V'ratzon Lomar, what's the difference? Oneg hu b'Shabbos atzmo, v'kavod hu b'erev Shabbos. Every single time we are trying to fulfill an obligation of Oneg Shabbos, we only have a 25-hour period that we can fulfill that, and when is that? That's on Shabbos itself. Every time we want to honor Shabbos, that's only on Erev Shabbos. So we also have a 25-hour obligation for that, or a 24 obligation for that, but that's on Friday. So kavod, honoring Shabbos, takes place on Friday, which is an interesting idea that you can have an obligation for Shabbos on the day before Shabbos, and enjoying Shabbos takes place on Shabbos itself. Now, what that does for us is that shows us exactly how we are to understand the seeming contradiction in the Rambam. How could it be that lighting Shabbos candles is both kavod and oneg? Well, very simple. It must be that lighting candles has a significance both for Friday and Shabbos. Perhaps that's why Chabad thinks that lighting Shabbos candles is such a big deal, because it has an obligation that seems to go beyond just the basic kavod or just the basic oneg. It has a dual obligation of both Friday and Shabbos itself. So what is the obligation? Well, the Shabbos obligation itself of having lit candles, that seems to be a very clear one. Why is one obligated to have candles lit for their house on Shabbos? Well, it's to create shalom bayis, right? It's a very famous idea, because back in the day when there were no when there was no electricity, and even nowadays there are some who say that the electric lights that we have in our house are connected and somehow to the Shabbos candles. Some have the custom to turn off their the electric lights in their home before they light the Shabbos candles, and then turn them on before they light again, because if you don't do that, then you won't be able to turn them back on again after you light Shabbos candles. But some have such a custom to do that, and the reason why is because the idea of Shabbos candles is to make sure you have a lit house. Why do you want to have a house that is lit, that's lit, that has a light to see? Because if you don't have a house that has light, then you can't enjoy your Shabbos meal, and you can't enjoy your Friday night. And if you can't enjoy your Friday night, you can't enjoy your Shabbos meal, then what's it all for? How in the world is anyone supposed to have a comfortable living experience? Therefore, why does one have to have their candles lit for Shabbos? Well, that's to make sure that you have an enjoyable Shabbos experience, that there's shalom bias. Why would one have to have candles lit before Shabbos? So I was just thinking, I'm not entirely sure, and I'm sure there are many different perspectives to this. Perhaps one idea as to why someone should have their candles lit before Shabbos is very simple. Right? If you think about it, what is like the number one driving thing that gets people into Shabbos? It's knowing that they have the goal of candlelighting. The candlelighting time is key. Without candlelighting time, no one would ever, I don't want to say no one would ever have Shabbos on time, but really, it is that which drives everyone's ability to properly prepare for Shabbos. Lighting the candles, which is even though essentially just for Friday night itself, it essentially allows us to properly prepare and have a goal in mind as to when Shabbos starts, and that's why perhaps an aspect of candlelighting is also relevant for before Shabbos as well. That, and obviously the fact that the actual lighting of the candles does take place before Shabbos, so of course it is a preparation for Shabbos and not something that is actually on Shabbos itself. Now, how do we conceptualize Kavod and Oneg as a whole? So as we said a second ago, Kavod is something that specifically applies on Erev Shabbos. We honor Shabbos by prepping before Shabbos, and we enjoy Shabbos by doing enjoyable things on the day of Shabbos itself. If we do want to line them up, if we do want to line Kavod and Oneg up with Shomer and Zachor, how might we do that? Well, I thought of the following, and perhaps there's something to this, and that is that Kavod, honoring Shabbos, in other words, preparing for Shabbos, maybe that's like Shomer. In other words, before Shabbos, what do we have to do? We have to make sure that we've done everything that we could so that we don't do any malacha on Shabbos, right? So if that's the case, then maybe there is a connection between Kavod, which represents Erev Shabbos, and Shomer, which represents making sure you have all of the malacha done before Shabbos, so that once Shabbos comes, you don't have to do any malacha. And Oneg, enjoying Shabbos, well, that seems to be a clear parallel to Zachor as well, because if you are supposed to enjoy Shabbos itself, the day of Shabbos, well, so too you have the obligation to remember Shabbos. You have the obligation to know that it's Shabbos today, and what better way to know and remember that it's Shabbos today by having a delicious meal to go along with your Shabbos mentality. So perhaps there is a parallel between Kavod and Oneg and Shomer and Zachor. In terms of how we can define moving forward and how we can know for ourselves what Kavod is and what Oneg is, so there is, as we mentioned before, this problem of understanding if it is subjective or it is objective. Meaning when it comes to the malachos, it's very simple. We're told that shamor means we have the obligation to not do any work on Shabbos. What does not doing any work mean? Very simple, say the rabbis. It means there are these 39 malachos, and we went through all of them last week very, very quickly, to understand what it means to not actually violate the principle of being shamor Shabbos. So that's simple. When it comes to being Oneg Shabbos or Kavod Shabbos, to enjoy or to honor, how in the world is anyone to tell me how exactly I have to honor Shabbos? How can anyone tell me how exactly I'm supposed to enjoy Shabbos, to honor Shabbos or enjoy Shabbos? How could that be? So therefore, I would suggest the following. I believe that there is an objective perspective of what it means to enjoy and what it means to honor, right? So those are some of the halachos that the Rambam listed. But for example, something like meat and wine, if someone does not really enjoy meat and wine, then the jury may still be out on this, but the common sense perspective would be to say one should not have meat and wine on Shabbos if it's not something that they enjoy. Very famously, many people love to quote this, that Rav Kook would never eat meat during the week. He didn't believe in eating meat during the week, but on Shabbos he ate meat. Why did he eat meat? Well, perhaps it is to fulfill this idea of the Rambam that one should be eating meat on Shabbos, but for nonetheless, maybe for the regular person, one should not be obligated to do such things, and they are allowed to enjoy Shabbos in whatever way they want. But again, there still must be some objective things. For example, one does have an obligation to light Shabbos candles. You can't get around that. One does have an obligation to dress up properly for Shabbos. You can't get around that. But in terms of defining the food that I enjoy, well, maybe that is one aspect of showing that there is some subjectivity to it. I'll give you one additional example. The notion of modern day continuations of the laws of Oneg and Shabbos. So, for example, people many times will try to cover up their electronics on Shabbos. If you have a TV, if you have a computer, people try to cover that up. Why does someone have to cover that up? What are they trying to do there? So perhaps that there is an aspect of Kavod Shabbos there, that no one wants to be able to have to look at a computer on Shabbos, because it's what an embarrassment to Shabbos that a computer should just be sitting out there. So people cover the computer. Now, obviously, the Rambam did not have the halacha of covering a computer on Shabbos. That goes without saying. So perhaps that is how we have shown that there is some subjectivity to being honoring and enjoying Shabbos, and that we add whatever seems to make sense, again, within the rubric of the objective halacha, we insert some subjectivity into the halacha as well. Now, what is the value of honoring and enjoying Shabbos? So I don't want to go too far in depth into this, but I'll just say a little briefly outside. There are several Gemaras in the Gemara and Shabbos, and Kuf Yud Ches Amabe is going on to Kuf Yud Tes Amad Aleph, where it talks about the reward if someone who takes delight in Shabbos. There's one such example that said that someone who enjoys Shabbos is going to be rescued from some sort of exile. There's another idea that someone who enjoys Shabbos, then God will grant his heart's desires, that anything that he wants will be brought to him. And there's another idea that people become wealthy because of the fact that they have honored Shabbos. So in other words, why is it, or under what rubric are we to understand the value of honoring and enjoying Shabbos? For whatever it is, we have to realize that honoring and enjoying are things that could bring positive things to our life. Why? What's the answer to that? Perhaps it's because we're showing that we want to give a sense of respect to this holy day that God has deemed so holy, and therefore as a result, God will say, you gave the day some respect, I'll give you some respect on the other end of it as well. And one additional Gemara in Shabbos, and with this we'll conclude, is the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. And this is the somewhat famous Gemara that's actually the source of why we say Shalom Aleichem on Friday night, right? The song we say, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharis. Where does that song come from? So some people actually don't sing such a song, or at least they don't sing parts of the song. Why? Because what an odd song it is. We're talking about Malachi Asharis. We're talking about the ministering angels. Why are we talking to ministering angels? Like, what a terrible way to start Shabbos if you think about it. We don't believe in davening to angels. That's not something we do in Judaism. That's maybe something that other religions might do, but we don't daven to God's emissaries. We daven to God himself. So when someone says the word of Shalom Aleichem by Malachi Asharis, so long angels, why are we talking to angels? So the Gemara in Shabbos has the following idea. I'll read it very briefly. I'll read the English just for ease. Rav Chista said, the Mar Ukva said, one who davens on Shabbos evening and recites Vayichulu, the two ministering angels who accompany the person at all times, place their hands on his head and say to him, and your iniquity has passed and your sin has been atoned. It was taught in a Braisa. Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda says that two ministering angels accompany a person on Shabbos evening from the synagogue, from shul to his house. One good angel and one bad angel. It sounds like the beginning of a sitcom, or you know, like the old like cartoon with the little guy with the horns on one side and a little guy with the nice halo above his head. There's a good angel and a bad angel on each side of him. And when he reaches his home and he finds that there are Shabbos candles burning and that the table is set and that the bed is made, what happens? The good angel says, may it be your will, Hashem, that it shall be like this for another Shabbos. And the evil angel is forced to say amen to that. But, says the Gemara, if the person's home is not ready for Shabbos, that the beds aren't made and the candles aren't lit and it's like a total mess in the house with no preparations for Shabbos whatsoever, the evil angel says, may it be your will, Hashem, that it shall be so for another Shabbos, that this person should not be able to prepare for next Shabbos as well. It's a curse. And the good angel is then forced to say, Amen. What the Gemara is essentially getting at is saying that how much do we value honoring and enjoying Shabbos? Well, it's so significant that if we do it, we're going to receive blessings from the angels. They themselves are going to say, wow, how awesome is this woman? How awesome is this man that they're honoring and enjoying Shabbos? Let's give them a blessing and it will have to come true. It's the evil angel will have to agree to it. But if the person doesn't pay any heed to enjoying and honoring Shabbos, then we will not be zocha to honor and enjoy Shabbos in the future, because we will be cursed by the evil angel. And I think what the takeaway from all this, and it's a powerful message, and again, there's a lot more to talk about regarding Kavod and Oneg. There's so many layers to it, and my goal is that, God willing, sometime in the future, we'll actually break down many of the things that we listed today, and we'll have separate 15-minute, or I guess 25-minute classes on each of those things. But in synopsis, to understand Kavod and Oneg is to realize that the goal of honoring and enjoying Shabbos is for us to reflect on the fact that God gave us this amazing day, this holy and spiritual day, as we've said time and time again, a day to connect to Hashem. And how do we repay God and the fact that He gave us such a beautiful day to reflect on, to reflect internally, to reflect externally, and to reflect on our relationship with, between ourselves and the Creator and ourselves, between the rest of our family and the rest of our friends? How do we repay Him? Well, we have two options. We can say, ugh, this day is so annoying. Who needs another Shabbos? It's so long in the summer. It ends at 10 o'clock, 9:30, whatever time it ends, it lasts way too long. That's one perspective. The other perspective is to say, oh my gosh, look at this amazing gift that Hashem gave me. Okay, there might be some complicated things, right? Learning all the malachos, that's a little bit hard, and knowing every in and out of Shabbos, that's a little bit hard. But recognizing the absolute gift of this 25-hour period that God gave us, what other more natural reaction should we expect from ourselves than to show God how thankful we are? How do we thank God? Well, we thank God by honoring Shabbos on Erev Shabbos and by enjoying Shabbos on Shabbos itself. We show how excited we are and how thankful we are to God by fulfilling these two other commandments of honoring and enjoying Shabbos. May we all merit to go into this Shabbos and learn to truly understand what it means to thank God for the gift of Shabbos by honoring and enjoying Shabbos. Everyone should have a great night and a Shabbat Shalom.